Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 687 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is June 23rd, 2022. A little early start for us this week. We're not normally broadcasting on Sundays, and that is because this Sunday, there weren't going to be a whole lot of us around. So we wanted to put forward a podcast of some kind. So we did it. We said, let's do a podcast on Thursday. And so joining me today, I have the only person that after multiple people committed actually made the show, Pete Chin.
Hey, I turned up.
You did, Pete. Hello, you did turn up. In all fairness, Robin was going to attempt to turn up. Last minute, family life gets in the way, and so Robin is right now playing Mr. Dad, which is totally fine. Kim apparently saying, yeah, she could probably make it for the show, decided to go off and buy rum instead.
Slacking.
Yeah. So where does that leave us? Well, that leaves you and I, my friend. You and I, Mark, it's a midweek. He's working. He couldn't make it. Phil was just kind of randomly, you know, giving me shit online, but you know, no commitment from Phil either, you know. So again, the true warriors, backbones of the podcast here on the show.
I wouldn't say that. I ain't even played a game.
We don't need to talk about that, Pete. Okay. You're in charge of listening to and watching the feed. I'm 99% positive I forgot to update the Restream info. So as we're doing, you know, the intro, I'm going to have to try and do some things on the fly because this all came together a little bit last minute. And of course, I'm technically still at work. Yeah. I'll just try and update the title as we speak. So this way, I think we're actually 689, Pete. I think it's 689, not 687. So there's that.
I don't know without looking through the episodes.
It is 689.
That's total fail. That's a minor thing. That's a minor thing.
Anyway. It really is. It is a minor thing, but you know, still, we want to appear professional. We want to appear like we know what we're doing. We don't really know what we're doing. We're flying by the seat of our pants. That is the God's honest truth.
We've got two people in the chat, though, already. Ryan, who I work with, Ryan Davis, he's in the chat, as well as Lord. So,
welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's not pointless doing it on a Thursday. Look, we're pulling in a crowd even in midweek.
It is not pointless. Not indeed. Although your coworker, I think, is just there to spy on you.
Probably.
Yeah. Does he know your affinity for Caucasus?
Probably. He might have done listening to the show. Yeah. So, nobody's surprised with anything when he comes to me, Greg.
No. No. Well, hey, look, normally we are on every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. And if you happen to be out in the Central Time Zone, it's 3 p.m. at your time right now. But as I noted today, special time, we're on midweek, which we normally don't do, but we're doing for the sake of wanting to put on a show. Yeah. What we're going to talk about today, I have no idea.
No.
So there's maybe that.
Maybe put a subject in the chat and we could just talk about it. Because, I don't know. Well, we can say, we can talk about what we've been doing in life, Greg. What have you been up to this week?
Well, so it's been a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. Work has been a dominating force Big proposal was done, and we've been getting follow-up questions from that, which is actually pretty exciting. That usually means that we're in at least part of the last choice. But beyond that, I have watched a couple shows. Caught the last episode of Star Wars Obi-Wan. I'm not going to give any spoilers, so don't worry. I will say this. I think outside of a couple, I'll call them missteps, I think this show is a really positive thing for Star Wars. I feel like this is the direction I want them to be going in, which is a bit more serious.
Yeah.
Shows the Star Wars universe in, I think, a more realistic fashion than other, you know, previous iterations of the Star Wars movies and some of the spinoff shows have done. You know, violence, typically speaking, in Star Wars shows, you know, it's there, but it's not brutal, typically. You know, they kind of hide some of that. Like, you know, if you ever think about back to the original episode of Star Wars, Lord Vader was basically, he was just a bad dude, but I never got a sense of he was just this like menacing evil force. Fast forward to this series, and Darth Vader is absolutely a badass and vicious.
Is it?
Yeah. They portray Darth Vader in a different way. Like, he is visceral with his violence. Nice. And so that I really liked. The kind of missteps for me, this is really more direction. There are a couple what I call A-team moments in the show where it's, you know, you've got a firefight happening. People are, you know, 100 yards or less from one another, you know, out in the open, shooting lasers back and forth at one another.
Yeah.
And apparently one team was raised on the A-team and they can't shoot anything to save their lives. So, you know, just not realistic. Look, if that was happening, you know damn well there would be carnage.
Yeah.
You know, that I would love to see cleaned up. So make that a little bit more realistic. Just give me the realism.
Yeah.
But, you know, beyond that, though, it was good. The tone of the show was good. I'm slowly, by the way, able to make some changes here as we're talking. So, you know, the dates are changing as we speak. It's all good because today is actually June 23rd, not May 29th. You know, minor things, Pete, minor things.
Minor things.
But anyway, yeah, back to the episode. It's solid. It's also, the acting was, I think, much better than, honestly, any of the previous episodes, maybe save for Rogue One. They have some younger, actors, but one actor in particular does a fantastic job in the series. Again, I don't want to give any spoilers. I'm not going to say anything, but I thought her performance was actually remarkably good.
Yeah.
I have high hopes for the future. I don't think we're going to get another Obi-Wan series. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, maybe they'll have a season two. I don't think that's going to happen. The way this leads off, it dovetails perfectly into, the original first episode of Star Wars. I definitely recommend watching it. I enjoyed it a lot. Mm. Is it on your to-do list?
Not yet.
Are you a Star Wars person? I don't recall.
I've watched the films. I've watched the films, but I've not really delved into anything as far as like Obi-Wan and the TV seasons and stuff. I've not had time, Greg.
Hmm.
I'm struggling. I really want to get through Stranger Things, and
okay,
I started to watch number three, season three, and I forgot everything, and Shell did, so we started again. And I think we're on like the start of season two now. And we find ourselves when we watch through this, we're like, oh yeah, we remember this. And we start chatting between us And then we kind of like forget what's going on. And that's the trouble of like rewatching stuff that you're familiar with, but we feel like we need to just in case we've missed something, you know. So we're gonna watch Stranger Things season 2 first, and then we'll move on to 3 and 4. But you know, like yourself, I'm busy at work, and even Ryan's on here. He can vouch for it. And it's, you know, it's busy. Ryan's been off like on paternity leave for 2.5 weeks, so I've missed the hell out of him. He's one of my golden boys. So to have him back now this week, it's bliss. And I'm looking forward to actually breaking up this Friday. I'm breaking up for like a week and 2 days.
You realize you literally are just online shaming him right now, guilting him into working harder.
I'm not.
This parade of you know, oh, he's the best. I can't believe he's back. Oh, he's going to help save my life.
I'm not. I'm just patting him on the back.
Yeah, there's intention here, Pete. This is intentional pats on the back.
You're twisting things psychologically. Don't listen to him, Ryan. He's American. I'll tell you what, you're the world's worst for praising. You're awesome. You're absolutely brilliant. I love you. You're so great. You know, Americans do it all the time, and it's the British that do it often enough. So,
I don't know what you're talking about. This is completely lost on me. But you know, you're an intelligent guy, so I really appreciate everything that you bring to the table. You're great.
So what else are we going to talk about? Come on, drop it.
Ryan said he's humbled. He should be. He should be humbled at your greatness, praising him. By the way, thank you for wearing a shirt. I appreciate it. I know it's late. You like to be on the podcast naked most of the time. So
yeah, it is. Yeah, it's nice to turn up in your thong, but I don't know. It is hot in this loft actually tonight. You never know. By the end of the show, it could be left in the thong.
Real talk now.
What?
I hear you guys complain about hot all the time.
Oh man!
And just fuck off, because you don't know hot.
You complain
about hot, and it's like 28 degrees Celsius, right? And you're like, oh, it's so hot, I'm melting.
Yeah.
Fucking 38 yesterday, Pete. 38.
Yeah, but you have aircon in your house. Like, okay. Am I right in saying?
Yeah.
So what's the temperature inside your house where you work, where you don't have to move and it's really, really comfortable?
I keep it at 74 typically.
Right.
I don't know what 74 is in Celsius.
So you take away 33 and then divide it by 2. 41 divided by 2, 20 and a half. Yeah, that's like body temperature. That's an optimized room temperature. Yeah, that's right. What you've got it at. Yeah.
Yeah.
So no wonder you just, you know, you think it's great, but as soon as you step outside, you start melting. Am I right in saying? And then you go, oh my God, it's too hot.
It definitely is hot. Your preference is not to be outside during the heat wave like this. I'm not going to lie, but I worked out in my garage this morning. It was already 80 degrees outside and the garage does not have air conditioning, but you know.
Yeah,
it actually works pretty well for just inducing that good sweat workout.
Well, it's probably about 190 degrees in my loft. I'm not kidding. I don't move. I'm moving my head and my fingers, and I'm sweating my ass off. but there we go. Us Brits aren't used to any of that.
Trader, by the way, is in the chat. She's basically complaining that it's been 100 degrees all week there, which I mean, we got the same heat wave going on. So heat aside, Stranger Things, I didn't have that in my notes, but I have started season 4. I watched the first episode.
Oh, wow.
It's a good setup episode, but it feels very different because they're all older now. I think one of the things I love about Stranger Things is that Goonies vibe you get to the show.
And
they're all now kind of hitting the mid-teen years, and it doesn't feel as Goonies as it used to.
Well, it was like he was on. You were talking about the Star Wars thing earlier. If they mm-hmm. do anything with that TV series and continue it for a long time, then those characters are going to get old very quick because of the production time, and they can't get too old because of where it ends in the story, possibly. So
I will say this, Pete. That's one of the brilliant things that Star Wars has shown. They're able to use CGI amazingly well for actual bringing back characters that, I mean, literally are no longer alive and not make it feel too weird. Like Carrie Fisher. I forgot the guy that played General Tarkenton, but they brought him back. Who knows? Maybe that's not as big a problem moving forward when they have the right budget. But obviously, you got to have budget because that's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
So Stranger Things. Sorry, dovetailing back into that. So far, so good. First episode feels like a bit of a setup episode. I have heard it's a little more horror-ish.
Okay.
I'm not opposed to that. I kind of liked that vibe because I got that same kind of vibe from Doctor Strange in the Multiverse, or whatever it was called. That had a very horror vibe to it, oddly enough, which I wasn't expecting, but I liked it. So I'm cautiously optimistic. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you been watching The Boys?
No. I'm just about getting myself through Marvel films, Greg, so I can't remember where I'm at now. I think I'm still on...
Have you ever seen The Boys at all?
Yeah, I watched two episodes and...
Okay.
I don't know. It was just...
No? Too gory?
No, I don't mind gore. It's like mixing gore, gore, comical twists, as well as like erotic scenes and whatever. It just don't all gel well, does it? I don't know. I don't get it. And Marvel. No.
I'm trying to remember. You're not a Marvel person, though, are you?
Well, no, but I'm making my way through the films, and I'm really enjoying those. But I'm still stuck at Endgame. I've still got like an hour to watch. I've not had the, like I said, I've not had the time, and I wanted to work my way through Ozark, which was the last, it's the last season, I think, in production, isn't it, this time around? So
for the record, I had the last episode spoiled for me. That was fantastic. I haven't seen it yet. But yeah, one of my, so randomly, a completely off-subject podcast, which was a sports podcast, had a guest host come on there, and he just randomly blurts out one of the things that happens in that final episode. And I'm like, you motherfucker. Yeah. I'm like, it's not even. Anyway.
Yeah. So The Boys, what do you think of it then? Because Marty's in the chat as well. We ought to do this on a Thursday. We've got more people in the chat than anything.
I know. Let's give some shout outs real fast. Re-shout out, please.
Okay. All right. So Kim's in the chat. Good old Kim.
Traitor.
Traitor.
Literally.
Ryan Davis, obviously. Who I mentioned earlier from work. Lord's in the chat. Marty, NC84. And there was somebody else, wasn't there, who jumped in and said hello. Robert Richberg. Do you know who that is?
I don't know. It's not ringing a bell to me for whatever reason.
Robert Richberg? Maybe he needs to reveal himself with his gamer tag or something. Anyway... I think that's about it so far.
Okay. All right. So back to The Boys. I kind of was getting a little turned off about midway through The Boys this season. There's a heavy dose of just some nasty ass gore. But I do still enjoy it. And I liked this last episode. It felt like it just kind of refocused in on the story and not so much the gimmick of the gore. Because like I said, if the gore is there, but it's done in a meaningful way and not just for shock factor, I'm all for it. But there is one particular episode where there is some shock factor gore, which I don't know if it was done I have to think the writer was just like, this is just going to be amazing. And then, of course, the director and the special effects crew is like, what? You want us to do what? And yeah. But anyway, so The Boys, it continues to be great. It really does. Even if I sometimes am a little whimsy on the whole gore factor. Yeah. I love the unabashed use of the word cunt.
Do they say that a lot?
A ton. Well, the main actor, I can't think of the guy that plays Butcher. I don't know his actual real name, but he uses that quite a bit. But effectively, you know, he uses it correctly. So The Boys, and then the only other thing, and the reason why I'm not going to be here this week is we're going down to the Bay Area. My brother-in-law is celebrating his 60th birthday, and so we're going down and getting him out of the COVID-trapped house that he is in. The whole Bay Area still is kind of very COVID, like, anxiety-ridden. But we're going to go out to dinner. We're going to go have fun, and we're going to be at a hotel, so we'll bring him over and maybe even do, like, a pool party the next day type thing and just hang out and just enjoy life a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's me. What's been going on with you outside of work?
Do you know what I said? I'm going on a camping trip. Glamping, should I say.
Yes.
I've got to try and find a fancy dress outfit. And between me and Shell, we've been looking at loads of different things. And we finally decided tonight that Shell's going to dress as 11 and I'm going to be Jim Hopper. So Shell's already got...
Okay.
Well, Shell's already got her 11 costume, pretty much. She just needs to get a blonde wig. She's ordered everything now. But I'm trying to find, like, Hawkins County Sheriff badge and all the other badges that go onto the shirt. Oh, my God, man. The Sheriff badge, they're expensive.
Oh, he does.
Jeez, they're expensive. I went on to eBay earlier, and there's one like for £53 buy it now, which I have. Is it
like a legitimate real sheriff's badge, or is it just like
no? It's like a replica. It's a cosplay Hawkins badge. It's just a replica. So I found one on Amazon, which was £14.90. But it was like a £33 delivery.
Pete, it's come to my attention, by the way. One, it's Carl Urban plays Butcher in the show The Boys. But more importantly, Kim has also correctly pointed out you don't need a costume for the nudist colony.
Kim, we've already confirmed this is not a nudist colony. We've already said that it's like a big, massive swingers camp, I think we said, didn't we, in the chat?
Okay, how different is a swingers camp from a nudist colony? I just got to throw that out there. I don't think there's much difference.
They're wearing fancy dress. I don't know. Fancy dress.
So question. So you said you're glamping, when I hear glamping, typically that means you're going in like a motorhome or a trailer. You're not roughing it. Maybe you're going in a cabin, but you're not in a tent. Oh. You're not hiking. You're doing fancy camping.
No, well, glamping in the UK is like a fancy tent that is all done up ready for you. It's all pre-made. There's a double bed in there. There's furniture.
Okay.
There's an electrical
hookup.
It's like
a cabin. Like you're kind of getting a cabin.
Almost, but it's not a cabin. It's like a big tent. But I forgot.
Not really, Greg. Yeah.
I forgot what it's called now, to be exact. But anyway, it's all pre-made, all done up ready.
So and for this experience, you guys are going to dress as Stranger Things characters.
There's like a fancy dress themed like party.
I missed that part. I wasn't sure why you needed a fancy outfit. And when you said fancy outfit, here I was thinking top hat, tuxedo, and you come away dressed as Sheriff Hawkins.
Fancy dress. Yeah, so it's fancy dress. So anything. They've got a little competition, so
okay.
It's the tent is almost like a yurt. It's quite like a round tent, quite posh inside. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So I'm looking at fancy dress stuff. That's it. That's all I've been doing besides work, I think. I don't think I've been doing anything else, Greg. It's only like 4 days after the podcast, isn't it? And
Well, thank God Ryan Davis is back, because he will take all that workload off you so you can just focus on Fancy Dress.
No, he's too tired. he's too tired. He's still changing nappies and dealing with being a dad for the first time round. So he's
Ryan, come on, man. That's what your wife is for.
Yeah, he's shattered.
Well, let's officially say congratulations to Ryan on becoming a father.
Yeah, fair play.
Yeah, we're really sorry.
The start of the pain.
Yeah, just getting started. All right. Well, we got that out of the way. So maybe we should talk about some video games. Let's see if I can find my video game clip somewhere in here. That's not it. I'm going to play a Robin right now.
I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right. Pete, tell me, what have you played today?
I've played nothing.
Pete.
I was even going to try and play a quick game of chess so I could say that I've done something. but do you know, I'll just turn up now. I'll just turn up for the laugh. But you've played probably a shitload, and you're going to give us loads and loads of like info, a big rundown of everything that you've been playing, and you're going to fill it for the next hour, aren't you? That's
totally my plan. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so we'll start off with some of the simple stuff. So yesterday we had a great round of Halo multiplayer. John Mouse was there. We had Martin there. Luis was there. So it was good times.
Have you finished the campaign yet?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. What did you think of that?
You know, I liked it. I think it ended about the way I kind of anticipated it would. They you know, obviously set it up to be a little bit open-ended to where it could continue on if they want it to. Yeah. But it wrapped up, at least it had kind of an ending, even though it was a bit open-ended to, you know, like there could be future fun. Halo continues to be fun. Especially on the multiplayer side, we just have a good laugh. And I think it's the randomness of Halo that I enjoy the most in terms of the multiplayer. Just every once in a while you get those crazy kills that you pull off or somebody pulls off against you and you're just like, holy crap, that was amazing. So.
See, I think for your next game that you're going to mention, I think there's more excitement in that as far as like random kills and crazy things that happen, more than Halo. I did enjoy it when I went on with you guys on the multiplayer, but I don't know. It's still Halo, isn't it?
It is still Halo.
It's just not. It's not. I'm not buying it.
You're not buying it?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's not your fault. I did get in a little bit of PUBG as well, although not as much as I wanted. We kind of pulled the trigger on PUBG, and it was supposed to be PUBG Fridays, and that has not caught on yet. I mean, let's be honest, the big win here is Halo for multiplayer. PUBG, you know, if we had somebody like Pete Chin, you know, trying to participate like you said he was gonna, you know we might have a little bit more going on, but you know,
and okay. Ryan as well. Ryan's really good at it.
What is Ryan?
Yeah.
Ryan is becoming, you know, I think this is somebody we need to just pull into our
get on the show
now. Yeah. Maybe, yeah. You never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So PUBG, a little bit of that, but those aren't the games I really wanted to talk about. So, the games I want to talk about. So one, Flight Sim. After the Xbox event, they announced that the Pelican was going to be able to be flown.
Oh yeah.
And I was all over this. I was like, let me get the Pelican. And I was
available already.
Oh yeah. It was available that day.
Oh, cool.
And so I opened up Flight Sim and I'm like trying to find it, nothing. I'm like, where the hell is it? I will say this, the UI for Flight Sim needs some, it could use a little bit of love, just in terms of where to find DLC, because I thought, okay, maybe it's in the store, maybe it's located in the store. And so I went to the store area, couldn't find it. Then I went to, I think it was like, you know, my profile and then my planes. But then from there, I had to explore downloads available. And that's where I found it. It was a very convoluted way of getting to it, but I found it. But I also started downloading every free update that apparently was out there, which was an absolute crap load. So there was an update to the US. There was an update for the UK. There was an update for, I think, India. Oh, there was an update for Argentina. And so I'm doing all these updates and I'm just like seeing like the megabytes go up in terms of like the disk space needed. So, yeah, I finally got it. I flew the Pelican around. Where did I fly? I was in Central. I wanted to go see the Panama Canal. So, spoiler alert, I never found the Panama Canal. I was just flying around Central America, you know, just randomly buzzing through canyons, trying to just, you know, fly a Pelican like I see in the shows, that kind of thing. And it handles a little, it handles like a jetliner. It doesn't handle like super sprightly. So some of my turns weren't the most graceful. But it is interesting because you can take it from hover mode to jet mode. And so there's a toggle. You have to go into the cockpit view, and there's a toggle switch to switch flight modes, basically. And so I did that, put it into jet mode, but then I totally forgot where the hell that button was and how to switch it back. So that was one of my crash instances because I was too busy looking in the cockpit at the different instrument panels trying to find it, and as it went right into a mountainside. But yeah, it's pretty. I like flight sim in small doses. Every once in a while, I'll get the itch, go out, check something out. It's kind of cool to like be able to fly over that area. I like that you could, in theory, play for, you know, through the cloud. But it's not something that I'm going to play like a lot. I think if I was a big flight sim person, I would love this. But yeah, that's what I say.
Can you select your weather that you're flying?
You can. You absolutely can. Actually, I don't know if you can set it or not. Now that I think about it, there's real world weather updates you can do. So you'll get the real world weather at the time. Right. But I don't know, now that I think about it, if they actually have the ability to go through, you know, and just not have... you know, just like set rain, for instance. I don't know that you can do that.
No. I mean, all I ever see when I see like trailers and footage is just like these breathtaking views in, you know, daylight and sunlight and nice weather. But I've never seen anything treacherous or, I mean, there's probably no point. I don't know. I don't know whether, or it might be even more exciting. I really don't know. But,
I would just like to point out in the chat right now, I'm being just raked over the coals for my driving capabilities. And then, you know, I feel like this is an attack on me personally. My driving in both PUBG and Halo is legendary for probably all the wrong reasons. I once again have killed multiple people driving the Warthog. It never fails. Like I could drive around the Warthog in a multiplayer map with nobody on the back of the Warthog. No problem. But the minute I get a passenger, they will die somehow. It doesn't matter. It might be me driving off the map. It might be them just being killed randomly because I got stuck into a spot and, you know, the enemy is shooting the crap out of them. But your life expectancy with me at the helm is not long.
I don't like the driving land mobiles on Halo. Oh, my God. It's so difficult to do.
You know, well, again, when I made the change, the controller change, I found it much easier. If I didn't do that change, though, I wouldn't be able to drive at all. Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen.
What the hell is this game?
This game came out in 2013, Pete.
Jeez.
So, in fact, I'm going to put it up on screen. Damn it. So Dragon's Dogma, this is a Capcom RPG. Capcom had a bit of big event. Last Tuesday, Monday, I don't know. And they did the streaming event. And then they did a special 10-minute Dragon's Dogma and a 10th anniversary event. And in this 10th anniversary event, the director, I think one of the lead artists and one of the lead writers, they all were talking about how they created Dragon's Dogma from their fondness of, D&D. And so that's really, when you play Dragon's Dogma, you can definitely feel a very heavy D&D influence. And so, they announced Dragon's Dogma 2 at the event. And so it was like, awesome. We're finally going to get a next gen, update of this. And so I was super, super, stoked. I was like, fantastic. I cannot wait. But it also gave me the nostalgia feels for Dragon's Dogma. And I was like, wow, maybe I should play this again. And then I realized I didn't own it, but fortunately for me, it went on sale. It was $5. And so I was like, I'm buying it. Let's play this.
$5. Nothing easy.
I will say this. I think my nostalgia for this game definitely is making it seem greater than it probably was. Because as I played back through it, there's some great mechanics. Like, one of the things I love about it is, and they talked about this, by the way, in the 10th anniversary event. You fight huge monsters in these games. And the same was true for, the Dark Souls type games as well. You always fight huge, large monsters. But one of the problems with all of those games, at least up until this point, was that, you're fighting a giant. You're just swinging at its foot, right? You're swinging your axe at its feet. It doesn't seem very realistic. So in this game, you have a climbing mechanic. So you can literally climb onto the back of the monsters or climb up on the monsters to attack them when you're fighting them. And so I love that mechanic. They also have what they call a pawns mechanic in the game, where you have, in a sense, kind of this, I'll call it a squire, that goes with you and fights with you. But you can actually, in a sense, kind of rent your squire out. Obviously, back when this game was popular, it was happening, a little more abundantly. But the pawns could go play with somebody else. So my pawn could go into your game, Pete, and you would have my squire helping you fight. And my squire also would be gaining, or my pawn would be gaining experience, even potentially some loot for them when they come back into my game.
Oh, that's cool.
They're kind of leveling up. Yeah, really cool mechanic. And so that's all great. I love that about Dragon's Dogma, and that's, I want more of that. I also love the RPG side of this game, and the D&D influence of it. It doesn't have the overly dramatic Japanese anime. I'm sure there are giant swords in this game, but that is not the common thing. You have realistic armor, swords, shields, that kind of stuff. So it all really strikes true to me. But when I was playing the game, I did notice they have a lot of camera angle issues. I was fighting a griffin, which it was pretty awesome. But you got in close and you suddenly are clipping inside the creature's, skeletal frame body. So it's breaking the illusion. You're breaking the walls of the game, so to speak. So does that make sense when I say that?
Yeah.
So the game definitely is going to need a lot of help in that regard. It will need some just better tools, a better engine. Although I think they're using the Resident Evil engine. I thought I heard that was going to be the case. So maybe there's hope for the game. I'm excited. But I will say my nostalgia for the game probably made this game better in my head than it actually was.
I've never heard of it at all.
$5, Pete. $5. You should go. It's very let me fast forward to some gameplay, if I can get
there. Yeah, there's a lot of
there's
a lot of scene footage there. Yeah.
It has a very Elder Scrolls, Dark Souls, Elder Scrolls, Dark Souls kind of vibe to it, when you're adventuring around in the caves, that kind of thing. I loved the game back in the day, or at least, you know, I thought this was the bee's knees at the time. Now, not so much, but I am very encouraged for a sequel. Okay. This, of course, then spurned me to say, well, I didn't really think Dragon's Dogma was all that great, but I should play Elden Ring, because you know what? I bought Elden Ring, so maybe I should actually try and play this game.
Okay.
So, last night, around 10:30, I fired up Elden Ring.
And in the evening? Myself,
yes.
Is this not a massive game, though? Is this like...
fucking huge.
Why start it at 10:30? You need a good, like, 4 or 5 hours, don't you, to start this off?
Well, I got in 2 hours. Played till around midnight. Okay. Yeah, but it was a blink of the eye. So, a couple things. So, I'm playing through, and I decided to restart the tutorial, which I have up on screen. So, this is the very beginning tutorial section of the game. So, in case anybody's watching the stream. And I'm like, okay, I very much like the mechanics of this game. Visually, I think it looks very good, not great. Like, there's better looking games out there, but this game does look really good. And it moves really well, which is, I think, also, you know, also very important. I then just got into the open world. So at some point at the end of the tutorial, you get into the open world and you're just unleashed. And this is where the game and all of the Dark Souls kinds of games have always fallen down for me a little bit. I really like to have a more kind of linear handholding of a story. And they do that in this game to a degree, but it's still not great. And so you still are, it's a lot of exploration. And of course, I'm trying to go around. I'm trying to find places where I can get good loot and upgrade my kit. And I'm not finding any of that. And of course, I do eventually find myself in this cave after I got down to a beachfront, and I found a cave, and I've enabled the online play, so I'm seeing all of the online notes that people have left behind, which actually are pretty helpful. So they'll warn you of a boss ahead, that kind of thing. And I got those warnings, but of course, stupidly, I'm like, I'll go check it out anyway, right?
So is this like a checkpoint that you go into and it says, it gives you those notes?
Sort of. So on the ground, you'll see little stones. They're going to be white stones, and they're not showing up in the video here. But once you go, you walk up to the stone, it'll be press Y to read, and then it'll be a note left by a player.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And so sometimes the notes are just nonsense. But more often than not, the notes are there telling you, you know, beware, boss battle ahead, or, you know, easy enemy up ahead, or group enemies, that kind of thing. So they just give you some quick, you know, helpful hints of what's you know, ahead of you or around you. And so I get into this dark cave, and one of the other things that I love about this game and also hate about this game is its use of light is fantastic. Mm. Dark caves are fucking dark. You can barely see in front of you. And so I'm wandering through this dark cave, and I find an enemy and I kill him. And then there's a ledge, and I see below there's some glowing, moss and some kind of lava rock. And I'm like, okay, I know there's probably enemies down there, but I also think there might be some treasure down there, and I'm exploring. So I jump down. Now, as I'm jumping down, I remember also that this is kind of a Souls-like game. And when you die, all your stuff, especially like your runes, get left where your body is if you die.
Oh, God.
So sure enough, I died in like 2 seconds because I got surrounded by a bunch of enemies. So I restart. And I wasn't that far away with my checkpoint. And I'm like, well, let me just go back down and I'll get my stuff and I'll try and escape. And also, I kind of knew what the enemy composition was down there. So this time I get down there, I kill all the enemies, retrieve my stuff. So I'm like, okay, good. I'm like, but now I'm fucked because I can't get back up. There's no climb mechanic in this game. It's jump, or, you know, if there's a ladder, you can climb up a ladder, but you can't climb up rock. So I'm like, okay, now what? Well, in front of me, there's a golden mist door. I say it's a door. It's really just like a cave entrance with golden mist, which tells you you're going into a boss battle. And so I go through this golden mist and just get annihilated by a large group of these like troglodyte people. I'm like, fuck. So I had to start all over again back at the campfire. All the way down. And of course, once you restart, it respawns all the enemies. So I have to jump down into the cave, kill all those people again. Then I go to the golden mist door. I go through the door, but this time I hide real quickly and I'm trying to assess the situation. And I'm like, okay, I see where my stuff is. If I just haul ass to my stuff, and then I'm just going to just avoid anything and everything and just try and haul ass out of the cave.
Okay.
Perfect plan.
Yeah.
I run out. I get my stuff. I turn the corner. There's a little corridor to go down. Just enemies all over the place. I mean, they're swarming all over me at this point, but I'm like diving. I'm dodging and weaving. I'm like, I'm untouchable. I get to the next Golden Mist cave exit area, and I get to it, and I'm like, where's the Y button to go through the mist? Nothing. Gotta stay and fight the boss.
It's a dead end.
Yep. Well, it's a dead end in that you have to fight the boss creature that you're in the cave with.
Did you start all over again?
So now I tried twice to fight, but I was just woefully underpowered. So at this point, I remembered, and this is one of the things I love about this game, you actually can fast travel back from any point on the map to a spot where you've done a rest.
Okay.
So I got my stuff quickly, hit the map, and fast traveled out of there back to my previous encounter spot. Well, actually, I don't know if I got my stuff or not. I think I may have just fast traveled out of there at that point. But either way, I basically said, screw this cave at that point. And then I went off and kind of explored the coastal area again. Ran into some smaller enemies, which I loved because I was able to kill them. And then I saw a bunch of those stones in the ground. And I'm on the beach area. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I see there's a fire ahead, which, you know, typically speaking, when you see little campfires, oftentimes it's a trader, like, you know, a vendor that's selling stuff and buying stuff. And so I'm like, okay, maybe this is a place where I can maybe buy some better equipment. So as I'm approaching, though, I'm seeing a lot of those little white stones in the ground. And I'm like, let me stop and read a couple of these. And they're like hinting at a battle ahead.
Could you put anything in that text?
I think so. I haven't yet to write one, but I don't know how detailed you can get. Typically speaking, it was about three words that I was seeing people leave behind.
Yeah.
But so one said, try sneak attack. So I was like, okay, sneak attack. So I come around the corner. I see this kind of like hulking knight bent over in front of the fire. And I know at this point, this is a fight. He's not selling or trading nothing. Mm. So I sneak up on him and I just hammer him with multiple axe swings. I was playing a hero character, by the way, in case anybody was going to ask. And I do massive damage to him, get him all the way down to just like a sliver. And then he stood up. And then I am just completely on the defensive. This guy is just hacking away at me. I never landed another shot. And I died there. And that's when I decided it was time to call it a night.
That sounds really frustrating.
It was a bit frustrating. Again, I there's so much about this game I love, but that kind of frustrating of just not necessarily knowing if you're good enough or you have enough power. And I think this is what a lot of people love about this games.
Okay. Is that what you meant then? It's not linear enough that you could just go anywhere and you're dropping yourself into trouble where there's a lot of repetitive stuff.
Yeah. I mean, in this opening scene, if you're looking on the stream, to the right and the left of that opening area, there are two different enemies that will kill you in a nanosecond. There's one on horseback, and then there's a giant, like, just strolling along the beach just casually, like he's on a Sunday stroll. I actually did the exact same thing the guy on the stream is doing right now, which is I kind of went around the backside and then discovered, oh, there's a way down the backside of that that building. But I will stick with it. I will keep playing. I have enjoyed what I've played, even though it's frustrating. But I think the thing for me is my anxiety goes through the roof because I'm so nervous I'm going to walk into something that is going to annihilate me and potentially, you know, get screwed, but with, you know, not being able to get back to my stuff because, let's face it, that has happened to me already. It makes me tentative to explore. And I think that's the thing that frustrates me more than anything is I want to feel free to explore, and you are, but the threat of danger is always there so much that I'm just totally cautious about it. I'm like, no, maybe I don't. Maybe I won't.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. So I'll play more.
I'm really lazy when it comes to reading, obviously, because I struggle. But and I've not read up on this game, but is this something that follows on from Elder Scrolls and all that type of? I've never played any of those.
No. So this is Dark Souls. The creators of the Dark Souls games made this game with.
So it's a completely different franchise. Come from that. Developer and
yes, FromSoft. FromSoft made this game.
Okay, and you don't. Yeah. So that you don't need to have played Dark Souls to play this game.
No. This is completely separate from that. This is on its own. And I think one of the things that is better about this game than the Dark Souls games is it does have this kind of loose guide to guide you. You know, so basically, to explain that. From the little campfires, when you set up at a campfire, there'll be kind of like this, this golden, I'll call it like a rainbow that comes out, and it will kind of show you the direction to the next kind of, save point area. That's also take you on the path for the story.
All right.
But you don't have to follow that. You can, you know, kind of go off on your own, obviously.
Yeah.
It is open world in the truest sense, and that is very different than the Dark Souls games. Dark Souls games typically were kind of more contained than totally open world.
Is it as difficult as Dark Souls? Because I've heard Dark Souls is really like unforgiving, and
this still has its unforgivingness. But I think the fact that it's your runes that you lose, not necessarily your equipment. Is a bonus. I don't know about extra equipment. So if you lose that too or not, I don't think you do. I think it's just your runes that you lose, and your runes are basically your currency.
Okay. I was going to say, are they extra abilities? So it's just money.
Right. It's just really money that you're kind of, or experience, if you will, that you're leaving behind. And then the ability to fast travel anywhere on the map back to one of those save areas, I think that also is new to the game. I don't think that was in the previous games. I think you had to reach a save point to travel to a different save point in the Dark Souls games. Whereas here, you could just be in a field somewhere and say, I want to fast travel back to the last campfire I was at.
Right.
And you can do that. But again, anytime you fast travel and get to a save point, the map resets the enemies. So you may have just killed a group of, you know, those troglodyte people like I did on the beach. But if I fast travel back and then I try and go back there, they'll be back again. So yeah. Anyway.
I'll put like hours and hours and hours into Assassin's Creed, like I don't know, about 140, I think it was. But this looks like a similar type of game where you can, yeah, you could just put forever into it, and once you get sucked into it, you just don't stop.
Yeah. I definitely could see you loving it in that respect.
Yeah, I do like the look of it.
I will say there was also one point I forgot to talk about this where I got to a ledge, and sometimes there's ledges that you can jump down from and you're going to be okay. At this ledge, it was like kind of looking out onto like a waterfall area, and one of the writings from previous player had said, "Try jumping." You died. So yeah, jumping was not the right answer. I think he was just trolling, and or maybe you had to have some special power. I don't know, but I tried and died.
I'd have to boycott the whole Whitestone thing if you can enter your own text in and just put something like your momming, or I don't know, just something, and do it on every single stone that I come across. Especially if you could do something like that. Yeah. So does it bring up like, is it people that have just recently visited that area and it brings up those notes? Because there's like thousands of people that are playing this game, aren't there?
Yeah.
That have got no link to you. So
I think it is kind of like recent instances of notes because it is limited. It's not, you know, we're seeing, you know, four or five in a heavily kind of popular choice area type thing.
Right. Okay. It does look like Assassin's Creed a bit. I might buy this. How much is this now? Is it still like crazy priced?
It might still be full priced. I don't know. I don't know what the cost is on it. Just know when you play this, in terms of the attacking, it is very much Dark Souls. So you need to attack and parry, block. You got to be smart about your attack. You can't just button smash. Button smashing will get you killed in this game faster than you know. And it's fair in that respect. So I like that, because when you die, you know it's, well, not necessarily because you didn't fight right. Usually you're dying for two things. One, you're impatient. You didn't block or parry properly, and you opened yourself up to an attack. Or you just came across somebody that was just way too powerful for you. You got beat down.
Yeah. It's £50 on PlayStation.
It's worth it. I'm not gonna lie. It is worth the price ticket.
I could probably go halves then with my PlayStation buddy. Yeah, all right.
There you go. Game share.
Nice.
All right, so that was it for me on the games front. Let me get back to our news and notes here. I suppose we can transition to some news. Let's do some news, Pete.
Here is the fucking news.
So even though we're early in the week, we do have some news to talk about. Let's see here. First story. No Man's Sky. You know that game. The game that everybody's comparing Starfield to. It's coming to the Switch. Now, of course, it was announced for the Switch a little ways back, and they said it was going to be coming this summer. Well, unfortunately, it will be coming, but not until October 7th. So slight delay, not a big one, but No Man's Sky coming to the Switch on October 7th. I'll be curious to see how that runs and looks on the Switch.
I don't know. Switch doesn't do it for me. It's just too expensive. The games are expensive. There's no incentive, is there, to get a Switch, really, especially with the, you know, the Steam Deck coming out. And
they do have competition finally for the Switch, I will say that, and it is going to be interesting to see moving forward as Steam Deck becomes more available, if it cuts into the Switch share. Excuse me. Throat's getting a little dry here. Hey, Pete, did you ever play the game Alien Isolation?
No. Do you think I've been locked in a cupboard?
I do. I think you've been locked in a cupboard with a bunch of cockages.
Hyenas, then. It's a team shooter from the creators of Alien Isolation.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this game.
So here's the interesting part to this. So early in the year, we had leaks coming out that Creative Assembly was making a PUBG-like battle royale game, and they were saying it was being made for Halo.
Right.
And of course, we all thought we'd be hearing about it, and we haven't heard anything. Now we get this story coming out. Creative Assembly, is making this game Hyenas for Sega, partnering with Sega. It's a team-based shooter coming to the PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, the Xbox One, and PCs in 2023. And here's the interesting kind of part to this, and made me think maybe this is in fact the game everybody thought was coming to Halo. It's you join with three-person teams to raid spaceship shopping malls for coveted merchandise left behind by Mars billionaires. You have to compete against four other loot-seeking teams while simultaneously dealing with security systems, hired goons, and zero gravity. You can not only flip gravity on and off, but use bridge-making goo and other special abilities to claim the upper hand. That was kind of the loose description given there. So, I mean, it sounds like a little bit of a Battle Royale-esque game.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, maybe this is the actual game from Creative Assembly and you know, all those rumors are just kind of bunk. We'll see. This apparently is a very goofy game. So it's not super serious. The image showed a guy had on like a Nixon, Richard Nixon, Nixon, the president, President Nixon's, yeah, mask on his face. We'll see. I don't know what else to say other than, I mean, there's no gameplay that was shown off or anything like that. So, proof will be in the pudding if it's any good or not. But, I mean, it's kind of an interesting concept.
Nice.
And then this last piece of the news, Pete. I know how much you love cloud streaming. You love cloud streaming. This is why you were thinking about giving away all of your consoles and just playing games in the cloud.
Yeah.
But Microsoft Edge, I guess there's an Edge update that's bringing a thing called Clarity Boost within the browser. So the new Clarity Boost feature improves the visual quality of console titles when you're using xCloud Gaming on a Windows 10 or 11 PC. The spatial upscaling technology won't make you forget that it's a stream, but the sample that Microsoft offered suggests it will reduce the muddy look and sometimes that plague remote games. And I haven't necessarily noticed this myself.
No.
But, you know, they have a little screenshot here. And gosh, maybe I can get it up on screen. Let me see if I can position my browser right.
Again, this is like really minor detail that I wouldn't really care about that much. I mean, if you've played PUBG and you've gone through like the beta of PUBG, and even when they released it and had all the problems that they did, like, this type of stuff just really don't bother me at all. I'm not all about...
Let me see if I can put it up on screen here. So, on the left side, there's kind of a line down the middle. The left side, I think that the thing that you can see the most clarity differentiation is in the trees. The trees on the right-hand side, they look a lot better than the trees on the left-hand side.
And the rooftops on the buildings as well. They're more sharper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it enough to make me be like, oh my God, this is what... No, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. It's a bit too much for me, really.
All right. Okay. Well, that was it for the news. So again, our glorious Rum Trader, I don't think she updated our games coming out this week, but I'm going to do
it real quick.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what I said. I'll
see if I can get through it. I can get through. See if I can get to June. June 18th.
You want to June 26th.
Here we go. June 24th.
Through the... We'll just call it the 2nd of July.
June 23rd. So, okay. So, Sonic Origins is out on the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC.
Okay. There's a Sonic Origins, right?
Sonic Origins, yeah.
Okay.
Did I say something wrong?
No, no, no. There's the Sonic Frontiers game that apparently I think it was the game director for that game had come out and said, well, people just don't understand the game. All of our internal playtesting has shown that people really like the game. So all the people criticizing the game just don't understand the game yet.
Right. Okay.
That always goes well.
Capcom Fighting Collection.
Okay.
Always got to bring one out, haven't they, now and again, to keep people on their toes. Fire Emblem Warriors 3 Hopes, which is on the Switch on the 24th. Is this Disgaea? Disarg? Oh, I can't even pronounce it. Anyway.
Disgaea?
Disgaea. Okay. Disgaea 6 Complete. That's on PlayStation 4, 5, and the PC, June 28th. DNF Duel, which is on PlayStation 5, 4, and the PC. Escape Academy on PlayStation 5, Xbox, both versions, and PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Phobia, St. Dimfer Hotel. That's pretty much on all the platforms. June 28th. How far have I got to go? Oh, we've got to go all the way to July, haven't we?
July 2nd.
Okay, so MX versus ATV Legends on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and PC, June 28th. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, which is on Switch and PC. Outriders World Slayer.
This was the new DLC for the Outriders game. I think they announced, was it the Xbox conference?
I was going to say, it rings a bell. I've heard this game. Right, that leads us into July. F1 22, that's pretty much on every platform on July 1st. And that's pretty much it, I think. Yeah, because all the others go to July 7th and afterwards. So F1 22 is the only game available between now and the 2nd of July.
Yeah, I didn't hear a lot on that list that I was like, oh my God, gotta play that.
No. Now, I'm scrolling down July now, and it doesn't even look that attractive, to be honest. So, yeah.
We're in the heat of the summer, the doldrums. There's no... Just got to play the back catalog, Pete. This is the time to dive into Elden Ring, Pete. Do it.
That will take me 6 months. there's too many games to play, isn't there? I wish I was 13 again. It's unreal.
Yeah, but if you were 13 again, Pete, you would have 10 pounds to your name and you wouldn't be able to afford anything.
Yeah, well, if I had 10 pounds to my name, I'd have a month of Xbox Game Pass.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Touché.
There we go.
All right. Pete, if you were hanging out on a Wednesday night, not watching Cock Cage videos, and not giving Ryan Davies a hard time about coming back to work faster. What would you be doing at 9 p.m. your time?
Well, I'd like to say just procrastinating, but I know that you're going to say you should be playing Halo.
I think you are onto something here, Pete. Yes. Wednesday nights, Halo night, every Wednesday, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, best coast time. 4 p.m. on the East Coast, and 9 p.m. in the apocalypse known as the UK. We get on our Halo night. We have a good time. It's always a good time. So come hang out, have some fun. PUBG, this is a Mark Wright thing. So if you want to play some PUBG on Fridays, Mark is hopefully going to be there this Friday at 9 p.m. in the UK. Same time frame. But I will not be there. I will be missing in action for this PUBG. So maybe you can take my role, Pete.
I really miss PUBG. I really do.
Come on, Pete. Oh. Come back. It's calling you. Come back.
I know. Yeah.
Let me drive you into a bus stop, Pete. Come on. All right. Okay, if you've made it this far, we really do appreciate you. And because we appreciate you so much, Pete is going to read your name out again from our chat.
Oh, my Christ. So I don't think it's changed really from before. So we've got Marty, NC84, Kim's joined us tonight, as well as Ryan Davis. Lord was in the chat earlier on tonight, and some person called Robert Richburg. This is somebody's gonna mention this later and go, oh yeah, it's so. But
right.
Anyway, thank you, Robert Richburg. Cool name. I love the surname. And as well as me and Greg on there. But yeah, it's still been a lively chat for Thursday. A nice surprise visit in the week for us, midweek podcast. But yeah, it's been busy enough in there. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. And this is the moment when I realize, did we record this podcast?
Probably not.
I'm going to have to convert the stream. That's okay. It's all part of the service that we do. We'll have an audio version come out later on. Come back next week. That's what I say. Not this weekend, because we're not going to be around on Sunday. So take the day. Enjoy some video games yourself. But next Sunday, that will be, that's coming up on 4th of July. That will be July 3rd. We will podcast once again, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 9 p.m. in the UK. We'll be on Twitch. We'll be on YouTube. And, of course, we always have an audio version for you as well. So, Pete, any shout-outs you want to give?
No, I don't think so. But on this day, in 1992, John Gotti, who was nicknamed the Teflon Don, was sentenced to life in prison after being found guilty on 14 accounts of conspiracy to commit murder and racketeering. How about that?
Yeah, he wasn't exactly a... I mean, he was a good guy in the mafia sense, but yeah, not a good guy.
Yeah. That was another thing that happened today as well in 2018. Toy soccer team becomes trapped in a cave. I remember this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got caught up in a cave.
Oops.
When a monsoon of rain, I think they just hit. They took shelter, didn't they? And they got stuck. Yeah. Yeah. But nothing really else that interesting, apart from Hitler taking a tour of Paris in 1940, which, yeah,
it's not terribly remarkable.
Exciting. No. Yeah. No. There we go. Okay. Well, anyway, over to you, Greg.
All right. Well, Pete, thank you for those little tidbits on the lovely history. I will say this, Ryan Davis, get back to work. Come on. It's been long enough. Yeah. You don't need to sleep. You know, this is what parenting is all about. You don't get to sleep. You have to work and you deal with shit all the time. That is the life you now have. Congratulations. But welcome. And thanks for tuning in. Also, thanks to everybody. Honestly, we have a good time with this. I hope everybody enjoyed this kind of impromptu podcast. We wanted to make sure we gave you a podcast for this weekend. We didn't think we were going to have anybody around to do a podcast. And so here you go. We'll be back next week. And until then, toodles.
Toodles.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.